Okay. So we're about to begin the next sugya. Some of you may be wondering, why is this the next sugya? This is the last sugya. So you're right. The truth is that all three of these sugyas could have potentially been one big sugya. The only problem is, there would have been 400 pages, it would have been 5 pages of Maamar Kamos, would have lasted 3 weeks. So I try to, as best as I could, break it down. So now we're going to analyze, leaving out the Dovah Shem Miskaven part so much, those things that we spoke about in the past. Let's try to focus really, really on the specifics of our Gemara, and as our Gemara relates to the general topic of Pesik Reishit Lo Nichaleh, what exactly is the status of a Pesik Reishit Lo Nichaleh? So we'll go back to our Gemara again, back to Lama Gimel Beis. So it all starts, Sukkah Lama Gimel Beis, Tadar Rabbana Eim Amat in the Yomtif. The Braisa says, you're not allowed to pluck off the Inde Hadas and Yomtif. Yeshua Belazim, Rabbi Shimon Amu Matin. Name of Belazim, Rabbi Shimon, they said it's okay. In fact, the Gemara Vakam Masakin, Vana Bi Yomtif, you're fixing something on Yomtif, some kind of a Malacha of a Machve Patish related. That in and of itself doesn't solve the problem. He held like his father. I fracked the Gemara. By Rav Dimon Tivayu, made of Hashem Sikreisha Loyamos. It's a Sikreisha. And with the Gemara Hakabai Skidin, the Itzel Shara Chariti. So whereas in the last sugi we spent most of our time on the Dov Hashem Miskaven Sikreisha part, we're going to focus now this next sugi on those four magic words, the Itzel Shara Chariti. So having another Hoshana, having another bunch of Hadassim, that's somehow going to solve the world's problem. So even though we just identified this as being a Pesik Reisha, and we just qualified Rabbi Shimon Shita, Abai and Rava were both the Chadish, finally, both Abai bought into this also, that it's a Pesik Reisha, and a Pesik Reisha is also. Nevertheless, somehow, it's Hoshana Charite, hocus pocus, So hocus pocus, this translates to become mutter. And the question is, how do we cross that bridge? How do we get from also to being mutter? So the simplest pshat of the Gemara is to say that the Gemara is qualifying the principle of Pesik Reisha. That not all Pesik Reisha. So the same, again, a lot of these things you know already. That's okay. We're going to just try to show them how they grow out of the Gemara itself. So the simple, most basic pshat of the Gemara is to say, notwithstanding the discovery of Avaya and Rava that Pesik Reisha is a problem, not all Pesik Reishis are created equal, and certain Pesik Reishis may be, in fact, mutter. And that's probably what the Gemara is driving at here, that Isdeh Shana Chavit is one of those other Pesik Reishis. How would we even know what limitations of Pesik Reishis are? We probably have to open up Masechah Shabbos, search to 157 blah, and find where else does Pesik Reishis come up in Masechah Shabbos, where else do Chazal limit and almost revamped this all-inclusive, those other all-inclusive category of Pesik Reisha, and we'll bump into a sugya in Masechah Shabbos on Daf Kuf. I remember? Kuf Gimel and Aleph. Okay? So, we saw the Gemara in Kuf Gimel, and I remember already which Gemara Mokham it was on. It's on this one already. Okay. So there's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Gimel and Aleph, which becomes pivotal for all discussions of Pesik Reisha. So we're going to skip down a little bit to the sixth of the Maamar Mekomos. Shabbos Chag Gimel Aleph. Tore Abanan. Hatolish Ulshin, Mamizarid Zerodim. If a person is plucking out Ulshin, some kind of herbs that are growing in the ground, or if he's removing some of these other kinds of branches and stuff that's growing, so what potential malach is he involved in? What malach de Raisa? He's plucking things that grow on the ground. Kotzer. Okay? Kotzer. The Gemara says in Shabbos in Gimel that sometimes you can violate Kotzer and Zoreh at the same time. Happy to do that? They're almost opposites of one another. Kotzer is removing, Zoreh is putting in. What pruning? A person is pruning, so he's got his tree growing, and he's removing some of the branches, and he wants to use the branches. So he's chayavat Kotzer because he's wants the branches off. On the other hand, is removing the branches being done to improve the quality of the remaining branches. That's a told of Zereah, or an Av of Zereah, or Meimlacha, whatever it is, there's something to do with Zereah, because he's improving things that are growing. Zereah basically means to make things grow better. Kotza means to remove things that are growing. So sometimes a guy can be chayv twice. The famous Gemara in Shabbos saying, Gimel, Amr Rabbi Abba, Zereh v'tzach l'eitzim chayv shtayim. Achas v'chum Zereh v'achas v'kotza. Why am I telling this to you? Because we were taking a walk on Shabbos, and there was a person who was being Zereh v'tzach l'eitzim. I was so excited. The person was I could tell they were trying to make the tree grow better. They were kind of shaving off some of the excess branches.
was gewaldic. I was like so mesmerized. I was just like standing on the corner just watching. That doesn't look like you're staring. I said, I'm staring. It's servants of the Yitzim. It's either now or never. Okay. So Rabbi say, if it would have been Shemitah, I would have been unbelievably exciting because that's the whole place, right? We spoke about this, right? So and so Yitzim, by Shemitah, by Shabbos. Do we talk about this? No, Masech HaShabbos? 5 years ago? Probably. Okay, probably. Okay, who remembers? All right. So Rabbi say, so the fellow is violating Kaitzer. The Shaila is like, well, what the Hilchah Shabbos? What's the Shear? Right, there's shiurim for each of the malachas has its own shiur. What's the shiur for kaitzer? So the Gemara tells us very interesting that there is no objective shiur for kaitzer. It depends on what you're doing it for. So imli achila, if your goal is to eat these things, then the shiur is kiklei geret. So it says in general, there's halacha moshe b'sinai hilchah Shabbos that all the malachas have to do with food. If they're done, let's say I cook some food or I'm teichin food, anything that's done vis-a-vis food, so the shiur is kiklei geret. The size of a what? What's a gregeris? So close, a dried fig, okay? So the size of a dried fig, that's the shear. What if in Lebehema? What if I'm plucking off these herbs and plucking off these shoots, whatever they are? I don't want to eat it myself, I want to feed it to my animal. Then there's a whole different shear. So then there's a din. The shear is the amount of the size of a mouth of a goat. Imlehesek. What if my goal of plucking these things off is not to eat, not to feed my animals, but to use for firewood? So the amount of firewood that's necessary to make a fire big enough to be able to cook up an egg. Again, these are all the shiurim, kachnim alach, these shiurim, in terms of the malach of kids. Then the Braisa concludes, in the opposite of karka, if the person is plucking off these things that are growing, they're almost like weeds, and they're rooting the ground, then the shear, hocus pocus, is kol shehein. Then the shear becomes kol shu. Even the smallest amount is considered to be a problem. So that's the braisa. There are four levels, four different shurim for this potential malacha. There's a shear of gregeris, for achila, there's a shear of kumla piakdi for animal food, there's a shear of levashil, deitzakala for firewood. Then there's the shear of kol shu for tikkun karka. Anyone remember from back in the Shabbos days? Four people, not only for Shabbos. What's the major machleik is about this fourth din? Im liyabas the karka, the shear's kol shu. Which malacha is that? So some say that the malacha of tikkun hakarka, that's not kaitza. Kaitza means when I'm removing something I'm going to use. Here, my goal is to remove it. It's almost like lakshar tzigruf a little bit. My goal is to make the land better. That's a different malacha than Amrei. That's malachas chayrish. Chayrish is when I plow land, and I make holes, and I plow, and I improve the quality of the soil to eventually use for something else. That's the amalacha of chayrish. That's what the Gemara means, that the Braisa says, if your goal is to eat these things, then the shear is this, because that's kaitza. Your shear is this, because it's kaitza. Everything is kaitza. But if your goal is changed, that you want to be the opposite of karka, that's not malachas kaitza anymore. That's malachas chayrish. And what's the shear for malachas chayrish? Kosher, there is no shear for the smallest hole, the smallest plow, the smallest improvement in the karka of the soil. That's malachas derayis and chayrish. That's how some read this. Others read the Gemara now. That this Bryce is not talking about chayrish. Chayrish is a different sugi of Sechah Shabbos. This is talking about kaitza. What's the shear of kaitza? The shear of kaitza is depending on whether you accomplish something of chashivos. How do you determine whether something is chashiv? Not like in carrying the mushel. If I carry water, so if it's enough water, that's a chashiv amount of water I'm chay. I carry milk, so the shear is a different shear. I carry bread, the shear is different. Every item that I carry depends on the shear chashivos of that particular item. So to over here, if my goal is to eat, then the shear chashivos is gregeris. If my goal is to feed animals, the shear chashivos is molly piagdi. If my goal is to light a fire, the shear is levasha beitzakala. If my goal is to fix the ground, then the shear is a shear chashivos of a kol shehu. But what's the name of the malacha? The name of the malacha is what? It's kaitzer. It's kaitzer, albeit with a much smaller shear, but it's still kaitzer. So that's a big machlekes. It doesn't impact on us right now. That's a major one. Remember, Sechah Shabbos, you have to figure out what the challenge is, right? But fine. But now comes the Gemara after concluding this braisa with the following bamkash. In fact, the Gemara, Atu kulu lo liyapas the karkadinu. What's the braisa comparing and contrasting what the person's intent was? Was it to eat? Was it to feed the animals? Was it? At the end of the day, what will always be accomplished? There'll always be deeper, these kinds of things detract from the soil quality. So Of course there's going to be Yipur Karka. So if course there's going to be Yipur Karka, then the Shear by definition will always be a what? Will be a kosher. So what is the Brisa telling you a story that, oh, you just plucked a little branch? Oh, don't feel bad about it. It's not so bad. You're not Chayaskila because you're short of a Gregaris. Oh, you were plucking out wood to light a fire? Oh, Bucks, don't feel too bad. You were less than the Shear of Levashal Beitza. What do you mean? Licked in every act of Kaitzer is the Yipur Karka. So by definition, you're always chayev. Alts the kol shu. Either alts cherish or alts kaitzer. So what's the Brisa talking about? The Brisa doesn't make any sense. That's the Gemara's cash. Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amri Tevab, Agam Shonu. Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, you're right, the question is better than the answer. And there's an okim to turn. It's hocha b'mayaskinon. We're dealing with a case where you happen not to be miyapis a karka. How is that? Because the karka that you are plucking things out of is not plantable karka. You're not going to grow something else in it. Why? Because where is it? It's an agam. What's an agam? It's a swampy, marshy kind of a land. It's not exactly good farming area, and therefore we're not going to nail you for the opposite karka. Oh, good. So far, so good. Bayam Abayi says a different teretz. Abayi is Rebbeim, a rabbi of Yosef. So Abayi says I have another teretz. We're talking about a land, talking about a field, we're talking about a nice agricultural cultivated field. The fellow is not planning on fixing up land. He's not particularly interested in soil right now. He's not a farmer right now. He just walked by this nice piece of land, and he says these nice little branches there, and he got hungry, and he starts to pluck off the branches, and he's going to eat them. So he said, if you plucked off gregaris, you're chayev skila. If it's shy of a gregaris, less than a gregaris, you're safe. You're not chayev skila. So I'm a miyapes a karka. The shear of yipur karka is bekolshu. So he said, bye, but I'm not mechavim to that. So I'm not mechavim for the yipur karka. Leave me alone. So Frank the Gemara, Rabbi Verava Derma Chivai made Bishim Sikresha Velo Yamus. Azachap Sikresha. Every time you pluck off these little branches, little shoots, these little bamboo stuff, whatever it is, it's going to inevitably improve the land. Azachap Sikresha. And Frank the Gemara, Lotzricha de Kava Biara de Chavre. Those are the three magic words of Esther. The Ka'ovid, Biara, that is addressing the Gemara's question of, hey, wait a second, isn't it a psikresha? And for the Gemara, what does that mean, Rabbi? So what do those words translate to mean? What do we call them in our lingo? We call that a psikresha lo nichale. Now, lo nichale doesn't mean that I don't want it to happen. Psikresha just means I don't want it to happen. Namely, it's not that I'm really, really angry about it happening. He's my friend. He's a nice guy, but I'm not particularly interested in his field now. So some Rishonim use the phrase "segregation law." Ichbas la, it's all the same thing. Right? The most Rishonim, it's all the same thing. So we're going to stick to our guns. We don't want to confuse anybody more than we have to. We'll stick to segregation law nichale. But we all know that's a code phrase for either don't want or couldn't kill us. So comes the Gemara and says, "Yeah. There's the segregation. Segregation is normally aser, but the kavod behind the chavre trumps." Psikresha, because it labels it as a psikresha delay defalay. And thus is born, in three words, this new halachic concept called psikresha defalay. The Gemara never uses this phrase psikresha defalay, ever. The Rishonim use it, and the Rishonim point to Shabbos Kuf Gimel as the ultimate source for this principle. Come to Rishonim, as we've already been talking about, and have a major machlokes as to what exactly are the parameters of the statement. Just how far could we take this principle of segregation to Lomi Chalei? No, who are the two major Rishonim? Come on, Chazar, guys, come on. Who and who? Tyson the Yoruch. Comes the Yoruch and says, segregation to Lomi Chalei is definitely not Chayev. That's for sure, that's the Gemara said, Kuf Gilman, no, Lachem, it's not Chayev. Says the Yoruch, well, if it's not Chayev, then it must be what? It's okay. Everything's about to prove an answer. You just got finished telling me it's not chayav. So why should I make it issur the rabbanan yeshmiyayim? Based on what? Based on who? Based on where? So the Aruch says, well, the Gemara just qualified. You don't believe in chazal. Chazal just said, let's see what the cover of the bavit chaver. So shteit in Shabbos kol gimel. So if the Aruch sitting in Italy in the 800s and says, well, if it's not chayav, then by definition it's going to be mutter. And that's how the Aruch paskin l'maisa. So Segregation l'nichalei, says the Heilige Aruch.
is mamish mutter. No reason to say otherwise.
Now, we already know enough, because again, even though we're in a new sugya, but that's a joke, we're not really in a new sugya, we're just continuing yesterday's sugya. Let's just put a little bit of a spin on this, just in terms of lumdus, just to keep us going. What's the nature of why it's mutter? Why do we call psigreshal michalei mutter? What pre-existing halachic category can we put it into, according to the Aruch? We call it a what? We basically call it a v'shem miskavet, i.e., lo nichalei cancels out psik resha. The term lo nichalei by definition means it's not a psik resha anymore. And if it's not a psik resha anymore, then it reverts back to the age-old dov v'shem miskavet, which is mutter. Tanya b'shimon oimeh geira adem mita v'kisi v'salsum v'ashle ischav nasas charetz. It's mutter l'chatchila, Rabbi Shimon says. Dov v'shem miskavet. The Gemara says, the Pharisee, the Pasuk of Shimon in this one. So the Aruch does a simple math. He says, well, the only thing that trumped dov v'shem miskavet was psik resha, but Psikresha itself was trumped by Lo Nichalei, so it's a washout. If it's Psikresha, Lo Nichalei is Ois Psikresha, not a Psikresha anymore. It's not a Psikresha, Mel is Bleib, it remains a Dov Hashem Miskavet, therefore it's Mutlach HaChil, that's the Lamdus of the Yoruch. Pretty simple, straightforward, we said yesterday. Come to Balei HaTosfos and say, the Re leads the way in this one. Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos, and Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah, and Tosfos in Maseches Ksubis, and Tosfos in Maseches Yoruch. Every place and Tosfos in Maseches Kri, every place in Shas where the sugya comes up, Tosfos says the same pismin in the name of the Re that who says Psikresh al Dichalei is mutter. That's a big leap of faith. All the Gemara said in Shabbos Kuf Gimel is that you're not chayav. Because remember, what was the topic of the Parayah? What was the topic of Psikresh al Dichalei in the Gemara? What was the original context of Psikresh al Dichalei in the Gemara? The Gemara was trying to make sense out of what? Well, why did the Gemara even introduce this concept? Was the Gemara writing a Kitzah Shulchan Aruch about what you're allowed to do on the Sabbath? What was the point of the Gemara? What was the Gemara trying to talk about in Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph? It was writing a guidebook for what you can do on Friday night? What was the Gemara doing? It was analyzing what? What? The Shir and the Braisa, which had a Nafkamina Legabe Wat? You gotta bring the Korban Chatas. Namely, all the Gemara wanted to do was to show that a particular action is not an Issa D'Oraisa. That was the goal of Chazal, very, very limited goal. Chazal were analyzing a fellow who's plucking stuff out of the ground, it's a field, is he chayav for the shear of Kol Shehu, or is it not chayav for the shear of Kol Shehu? That was the whole thing. The Gemara was analyzing a Din D'Oraisa. Zok Tari, just because the Gemara, for its purposes, knocked it out of the box of being a D'Oraisa, that in no shape or form means that's mutlach hachila. Not everything that's not a deraisa is mutlach hachila. If you haven't learned Masechah Shabbos, so that may be confusing to you. If you learn Masechah Shabbos, you realize right away there are an awful lot of things in Masechah Shabbos that are not isurim deraisa, but not necessarily mutter either. So the Re said there's no raya for Gimel. Shabbos Kuf Gimel is not a raya b'chol to anything. All Shabbos Kuf Gimel tells me is that it's not a deraisa. But it's blaib, it is sir, also b'dirabon. So she does that taisa throughout Shabbos. Now, just to put a lomdisha category on it, again, which we did a great detail yesterday, how do we categorize that? What's the name of this Issa D'Rabbanan? You can't just call it, there's a new Issa D'Rabbanan on the books called Psik Reish Lo Nichalei. There was no Beis Din that ever sat down ever and said that the Psik Reish Lo Nichalei is also Issa D'Rabbanan. So what is it exactly? What's the Issa D'Rabbanan here? What's the name of the Issa D'Rabbanan? Well, what is it? What is it according to Tosfos? Well, let's go backwards. What is it not according to Tosfos? A psik reisha lo nichalei according to Tosfos is not a what? It's not a dov v'shem miskavet, because if it would have been miskavet, the Re would have been right. So the lo nichalei doesn't transform it to become a dov v'shem miskavet. It's blip the psik reisha. I don't care what nichalei is or lo nichalei is, if it's a psik, once a psik reisha, always a psik reisha. Wait a second. Once a psikresha, always a psikresha. So why isn't it also midaraisa? What's the answer? There has to be some other factor out there that's responsible for this issa derabanan, or for this really knocking down from midaraisa to derabanan. What is that? So kid, that was all of yesterday's shiur. What is that other factor? What do we call it? It just happens to be by luck. Every psikresha nichalei happens to also be a what? Didn't we talk about this yesterday? Wasn't this toshia yesterday? No? Okay. Every psik reisha lo nichalei is also qualifies as a melach shetzich legufa. So that's what saves us a kuf gimel. That's why it's not a deraisa. The only problem is If all you can call this, if the only Torah you can muster up is Melach Shetzir Chalufa, then you're going to be stuck with a what? What are you still stuck with? If all you could call a Psigrational Nichol is Melach Shetzir Chalufa, what are you going to be stuck with, Rabbi Zai? Having to conclude that it's still also what? Midrabban, like any other Melach Shetzir Chalufa, which is Potter Vel also Midrabban. So conceptually, the Aruch and Taisus are not just the Machlegis. Oh, he said Mutter, he says us, he says us, he says Mutter. No, no, no. They're conceptually radically different. According to the Aruch, it's Mutter because it loses its status of Psigration, becomes Dov Shem Skavet. According to Tosfos, it retains its status of Psigration, albeit it's Potter because of Melach Shetzir Chalufa, which results in at least still retaining an Issa D'Rabbanan. So it's a very, very different moment. Now, we have no idea yet why Tosfos went down the route that they did. What led Tosfos to believe that the Lo Nichale characteristic cannot transform it to become back to a Dov Shem Iskaveh? Why Tosfos refused to go down that route? And why the Aruch was comfortable going down that route? We have no idea why each Rishon said what they said. Hopefully that will be determined as the Sugya unravels. But at least we've identified what. When you learn, you have to first identify what, then you can discuss why. So up until now, we've identified between yesterday and we've identified what. We've identified where it came from. It came from Shabbos Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Because in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, the Gemara did say it's not a deraisa. So the Aruch concluded not a deraisa mutter. Tosfos said not a deraisa, still lost the Rabbanan. So the where, we got the mochor. Shabbos Kuf Gimel is the where. We have the what each one is saying. We even have a halachic category as to precisely not just the facts what they're saying, but the lumps of what they're saying. So we accomplished a lot today, but we still do not know why one said one and one said the other. What was wrong with what was potentially deficient with the other one's approach? So we have a lot of work cut out for us, but at least we identified the basic machlokes tais in the Aruch. So now we take this machlokes tais in the Aruch, and now, like we always do, we go to the lab and we test it. And the testing ground for all of any Rishon is the Gemara. Everything has to meet the Gemara. So you have to go back in time, go back 500 years, back to Sugyas and Shas, and see which Sugyas have relevance. Which Gemaras point to which directions. The Aruch's got to explain away every single Gemara, and the Balei Tais have to explain away every single Gemara. If not, then one sheet is just rejected. And we're not going to reject either sheet. The daily oil for the Aruch for the Balei Tais is each one had a very, very different way of reading multiple Gemaras. How many Gemaras do we have to analyze? We've got a tally for us. How many Gemaras? One is probably Sukkah, Taflami Gimel. That's really a good one to look at. Shabbos Kuf Gimel we already looked at, but that was the source of the Machlokes, because I wouldn't even call that, really. So you have Sukkah Lami Gimel, huh? Tzvachim, of course, Sadi Halaf. That's a major, major pivotal Gemara. None other, that's it. That's it. Yeah, we have a few others to look at also. Okay? We have a bunch of Gemaras to look at. A bunch of Gemaras to look at. To see how Taisus ready says a Ksubistav, right? Ksubistav of Besukhrasi Nizaisa. Anyone saw that in the Ramah Kermas yet? No? Okay, that Gemara is coming around the bend. Then you have another Gemara about Mephis Borsa that may have to be reevaluated again. We have four, five, six multiple Gemaras that have to be looked at under the microscope. How did the Balei Taisus analyze these Gemaras? How did the Aruch analyze these Gemaras? So, where's a good place to start? Sukkah Lama Gimel, or not? The Gemaras are open anyway. Those who still bring Gemaras this year. So in Sukkah Lama Gimel the days, our Gemara told us the three magic words. What were the three magic words? Islei Hoshana Charite. And for our purposes, the Gemara has to make it what? What's the conclusion? What's the conclusion psak in our Gemara? We have to justify what psak? What word? Mutter. Because the Braisa says, Mishum Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon Amru, Mimatin. In the name of Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon, it was said, Mimatin. Mimatin means it's mutter to do it. Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon is giving you a guidebook. When you wake up sick this morning and you want to pluck out your berries, that's okay, as long as you're eating the berries. Two conditions make. You're eating the berries and you have other hadasim. Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon gave you a green light. In the name of his father, he said, when I learned in the cave, me and Haley Gatata, Rabbi Shimon, we sat in the cave together. And besides writing Zoyers, we discussed the sugyas of Dov Shem Iskaveh, and we came to the conclusion, Mimatin. How did the Aruch read this? And how did Tosfos read this? Of course, this Gemara reads like a charm according to who? According to the Aruch, which is exactly what Tosfos themselves can see. So one point, Aruch, okay? Aruch is the upper hand in this one. The Gemara is simple, very easy. Tysus already alludes to it here. Tysus and Ksubas much more in detail. Tysus and Shabbos. Whenever Tysus quotes the Aruch and Tysus, so Tysus always says, this is a Gemara in the column of the Aruch. What do we do about this Gemara? What's our take in this Gemara, says Tysus? We're on the defense, so what do we do? What do you think the strategy of Tysus would be? They're very convinced that their lumdus of Shabbos Kuf Gimel is right. They really believe there's some kind of Nisa D'Rabban in here, and yet they're staring in the face of this Gemara that says Mutter. So what magic do we have to do according to Tosis? What's the strategy? I'm not saying how to get there yet. Like, Bahav, look, you make a battle plan. So my goal is I got to capture the flag. How am I going to do it? I got to figure out 15 different ways to get there. I know where I want to get to. So my goal is to get to Mutter. How would you begin to map out to get to Mutter? Well, that's a big problem because the Gemara just called it a situation, right? I mean, that would be the easiest way out. You mean, in other words, the Gemara is making such an about face that everything we thought up until now was dead wrong. And guess what? In those words of the Isa Shanachwita, the Gemara is saying, by the way, there's no malach involved here altogether. You must have read the Gemara like Rashi. Okay. I would not qualify that as the simplest path. Maybe the right one, but I wouldn't say it's the simplest path. So what would be the easiest way? We got to capture that flag. We have to get from, our goal is to get from Usser to Mutter. Apparently a lot of people have no problem doing that. People do that all the time. They turn things that are Usser, Mutter, Usser, and people have no problem. So we're trying to get things from being Usser to being Mutter. How do you go about doing that?
Figure out how the cases are different.
Well, we know what it is. We know it's a situation of Nichalei. We've already identified that.
Yeah, but this case might be a case of a mitzvah. Oh,
yeah, you don't mean the cases are different. That's not what you mean. What you need to say is that you acknowledge that it has all the trappings of being Usser, namely, it's a psikration, lo nichalei, which again, this is all Tosfos talking, which basically means malach she'etzich legufa, which should result in potter of al Usser. Everything looks like it's going in the same direction. We're running out of room. But we have learned other sugyas in the past where we know that every once in a while, things that are Usser may all of a sudden become Mutter. How is that? Well, it depends how Usser they were in the first place. If they're Isurim D'Oraisa, they very, very rarely will become Mutter. There's probably only one thing that could turn Isurim D'Oraisa into being Mutter. What is that? A Cholos Sheyesh per Sakana. That's about it. All right? But in Isurim D'Rabbanan, in 157 Blah, Masechta Shabbos, we've probably bumped into once or twice. Sometimes there are what we call extenuating circumstances. Now, it doesn't mean that all these Isurim D'Rabbanan are lifted because any little kvetch, any little headache, all of a sudden everything becomes Mutter. But there are principles in Halacha. Sometimes Isurim D'Rabbanan become Mutter. We've even seen it. We even had it yesterday. What was an example of a potential Isurim D'Rabbanan that became Mutter because of some extenuating circumstances? The Gemara's version, not the Rambam's version, but the Gemara's version of what? Of what? Tzadokhash, Mephis Mursa, those are things that should have been also in the Rabbanan, because they qualified, again, in the Gemara, in Rav's worldview, before Chaim and the Rambam came along, so those were Isurim the Rabbanan, that became Mutter because there was some extenuating circumstances. We don't want a guy to get bit by a snake, we don't want the person's in a lot of pain. So to take an Isurim the Rabbanan and make it Mutter is not so hard if there's extenuating circumstances. So we probably have to look for here the bridge to go from Asa to Mutter is to find extenuating circumstances. What are those extenuating circumstances? No one's in terrible pain over here. No one's afraid of getting bit by snakes. No one's suffering from boils that are not opened. But there is something, some reason why, if we were the Rabbanim, we were the Beis Nagoda, we were sitting in Lishkas HaGozes, and we had to come up with some kind of a reason to give us a green, green light on this Issa the Rabbanim, I can come up with one. What is it called? Makom Mitzvah. And who says that? What? Tosfos in Asugya. Tosfos says, on the bottom of the Gimel Beis, Tosfos writes, V'chein had the Mishani, about several lines in the bottom, had the Mishani, Ach Nisa Shana Chvite, Hainu Mishum Be'azad V'lach Shem Tzich Legufa, Ay V'yafo Ga'av, the Fibber Mishum Potter V'losur, Hachishoy Mishum Mitzvah, boom, two words. Tosfos says, that we've just identified the extenuating circumstances, that's Mishum Mitzvah. Now, obviously, I can't even express offer anachm tachas ragli habalei atosis. We're nothing pale
mashir to the Bali Tosfos, but it is a startling Tosfos. What makes this Tosfos so startling? So it's almost like two levels of startling in this Tosfos. One is, you know, I'm also a big believer in mitzvahs. I'm a pretty pro mitzvah guy myself. This, you know, in our shul right before mincha every Shabbos between Pesach and Shavuos, so we have a seder in Nefesh HaChayim. We learn Shar Dalad. Every year we never remember where we left off the year before, so we always end up just saying what we did the year before. Eventually, maybe we'll finish if someone actually puts a bookmark in. But we're so this past Shabbos, so we're talking about here the famous Vort Chaim Elojen has about to highlight some of the differences between mitzvahs and Talmud Torah. Those will come to the Shabbos and Shabbaton, so you probably continue from that point. So he has a whole mahalach about some of the nuances of differences of mitzvahs in contrast to Talmud Torah. So his basic theory is that mitzvahs are limited in scope. Mitzvahs are things that affect that time and place. And then in the Olam HaKabbalah, mitzvahs are things that affect that particular part of your body. The person hears a shofar, so that's a tikkun for his ear. The person needs spots, that's a tikkun for his thought, whatever it is. But Talmud Torah permeates the entire essence of a person's neshama. That's his shot of the Talmud Torah, connected kulam, that it's greater than all the other mitzvahs, because it's something that ultimately impacts on everything, not just limited. Again, a beautiful, beautiful mahalach in Chaim Elojen. So as I was saying it, I was almost like felt like we were almost like denigrating mitzvahs. Like I kept on saying, you hear shofar, okay, big deal. Here, hey, my, put on for that, big deal. Kriya, who cares? You sit and learn a Reb Chaim on. So you know, I felt people like getting the rabbi. What happened to the rabbi? So I said, listen, you know, if you know me, you heard my drushes before. I'm all for mitzvahs. I also think mitzvahs are important, they're very important. But I'm talking about kulam, and then you have to understand Reb Chaim Elojen's whole mahalach Chaim. So to over here, I'm all for mitzvahs, everybody. So I think mitzvahs are really important. I like Dalet Minim. We spent the whole year almost on Sukkah and Lulav. You know, we're all for Dalet Minim. But you know what I'm also for, everybody? Say? I'm all for Shmiras Yontif. I'm all for Labetes Melachis. I don't want people being violating right and left Isurim or Melachis. Not true. It's not a melacha deraisa here because it's only derech in obsegration lo nichalei. And the Gemara in Shabbos already said it's not a deraisa. I got it. But some melacha to the gufa is not so poshut. You know, that's a very, very serious. An isra chama b'yaisa. Melacha to the gufa is a very, very high up in the totem pole of Yisurim Derabon. It's not an isakal at all. And Taisus almost like flippantly says, well, there's a big macha mitzvah here, so therefore we're going to violate it. Really? Of 157 blad in Masechah Shabbos, do we have any precedent that Chazal lifted Malach Shetzich Magufa from Mokka Mitzvah? Is that true? Is that statement even true? Do we find anywhere in Shas that Chazal lifted Malach? We do find Chazal lifted Malach Shetzich Magufa from Mokka Tsar, Shalish, Chanu Nochosh, the guy's plotting, his boil is hurting him so much, wants to get the Lecha out. So there is some precedent for chiseling away a little bit of Malach Shetzich Magufa, but not much. So, just our initial take on Tosfos is like we're a little weary with Tosfos' answer. But as Dr. Berman says correctly, we're even more weary about Tosfos' answer. You know why? Because this is a very, very questionable Makom Mitzvah, and I'll tell you why. What's the great... No, what does usually Makom Mitzvah mean? Makom Mitzvah conjures up an image. This poor guy, he's stuck. If we don't matter this to the Rabbanan, never he's not going to be yotzei the mitzvah. So we're going to let him do this. Otherwise, this we're going to look the other way. So he should eat the matzah, he should shake the lulav. We're stuck. We'd really rather not, but we have leis breira. What's happening in Sukkah Daf Lam Gimel Beis? What if we'll stick to our guns and we'll tell the Heilige Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, no, ain't the matzah. What's going to happen? He's got a backup anyway. How do we know he has a backup? Because if he didn't have the backup, then it would have been a what? It would have been Sigresh of the Nichol, that would have been for sure. So he's got the backup. Without the backup, the Sigur doesn't start. So the show is going to go on anyway. This guy's going to be belted down hollow in a minute anyway, whether we let him bite off his berries or not. So what's the gefelach mitzvah? What's the unbelievable tzarech mitzvah? I never understood this story. He says, what's the big tzarech mitzvah? To have another set of hadassim in the background that we don't really need anyway? And that's sufficient grounds to violate and misad the rabbanim lo k'tzeich l'gufa. It's purely poor in this thesis.
Once you have others, like the tikkun is not really particular.
Well, you're Rashi. You're in a different book. You guys are in cahoots over here. You're a different shot. Tosfos didn't say. Tosfos said the matir is makom mitzvah. So we already realize that you see a Tosfos like this, and again, the Helik Bali Tosfos. You see a Tosfos that agonizing over this. They're sitting in France. They're sitting. The world's collapsing around them. And they're trying to figure out. We're disagreeing with the Aruch. We read a line against the Aruch. We put our shittas on the line. And now we're learning Sukkah Daflam and Gimel Beis, and we realize the Aruch has the upper hand. There's no question the Aruch has the upper hand in this Sukkah. So the Heilige Talmidim of the Ri have to defend the Heilige Rebbe. You say, a Makom Mitzvah. But you see that it's not such a, I don't want to say not a good Teretz. See, it's there's a difficulty in this Teretz. And therefore, Tosfos in other places doesn't quote this. Tosfos, the Masechah Shabbos, asks the same Kasha, and veers away from this. Comes Tosfos in Shabbos, Kuf Gimel and Aleph, with the exact same kasha. And Tosfos says, who's the Tosfos at the top of the back of the page? L'tzrich disa shana charita, listen to this one. Mashma keperish ha'orach. That's an understatement of the century. Mashma keperish ha'orach. It says, mucho keperish ha'orach. T'ch she'edem nehenu mutter. Afagav davim sikreisha. So Miriam Shalom says Tosfos, no, we can still connect, we can still save the Heligari. The Isay Tikun Muat Kwamir Anovim Lo Osir Elamid Rabbonon Lo Gazu Chachomim Kishenu Nehne. Zok Tosfos, rather than say that they're extenuating circumstances, almost been a chutz, like a dove, a mokom mitzvah, some of our new tzairach we can introduce, says Tosfos, we can go down a different route. Again, the goal is to get to the same flair. We got to get to Mutter. Osir's got to become Mutter. That's the name of the game today, says Tosfos. Says Tosfos, let's be honest. This tikkun mana that we're talking about, Alam Gimel Mebeis, Beinenu, just how serious is that? And let's say the guy Mamish plucked off the berries, Hinani Mukram Zuman, Lesachin as a Hadas. He's not eating the berries, he's not in Tanina, he wants Lesachin as, and he went in and did it for the Kavana Gemura Mamish. So Tosfos says, big deal. So we violated this, nobody like that. It's not Nisidirais anyway. Why? That's Machbe Patish. What did Tosfos call it? Tikkun Muat. Tikkun Muat. Very shvah, very, very minuscule fixing of something. It's a very hard Hagdor, what that means. How would you know what a Tikkun Muat, a Tikkun Rub is? That's hopefully the next sugya. So don't even ask me that right now. But trust me, trust Tosfos, that this is only Nisa Durabon anyway. So, assume Durabon, we're observing Jews, we observe Durabonans also. So what's Tosfos saying? Well, now we have like a Durabonin squared a little bit for us. Why? Because, number one, the Isser involved itself is only a Durabonin, because it's only a Tikkun Mut, so it's not real bona fide Makom Patish Min HaTorah, or whatever deep dark root not yet to be, not yet known to man, or at least not known to the Shir yet. And Tosfos says, since the Isser is only a Durabonin, and let's not forget, you're doing a Derech what? Derech a... Derech Hawa? You're not really doing it intentionally. How are you doing this Tikkun Muat through a what? L'tzricha the Isser Shana Chavita, so it's a what? It's a Psik Rechel Michle, which in turn is only a Melacha Tzricha L'Yana Gufa, which in turn is only a Derabanan. So we have almost like colliding that. It's a Derabanan on a Derabanan. So it tells us, come on, that's already too much. The rabbis, too many Chumras Derabanan. It's bad enough. One is a derabanan. This is twice removed from being a deraisa. The malach itself is not a deraisa, and the tzura that you're doing it, the form that's taking in your personal way of doing it, is not a deraisa. Take a form of malacha, because it's anyway you're hiding behind Shabbos Kuf Gimel and Aleph that it's a psikreishal nichle, which is only a derabanan at worst. A malach sheyatzich lagufa / psikreishal nichle on nisa derabanan is mutar lechatchila, and that's what the Gemara means in Sukkah Daflam and Gimel Beis. Wow. That's quite a mahalach. Now again, I understand why Tosfos had to do it. I'm not blaming Tosfos doing this. Because the Aruch was not an option for them. The mitzvah was very, very shaky. So they came up with a new chiddush did may become critical, halach l'maisa, because once you say that what's going on here is not really mitzvah oriented, it's really almost a product of detail, it's a limiting this Issa d'Rabbanan, that this Issa d'Rabbanan, Psik Reish L'Michle, doesn't apply to d'Rabbanans, that may become very relevant for half a dozen or half a million of Issa d'Rabbanan. So the potential
application of that line in Tosfos and Shabbos Kuf Gimel is critical. So far we have three different halachim in Asugya. We have Isna Shana Charite, we have simple pshat at the Oroch, it's just a plain opsik reishit lo michalei, it's mutal lechatchila, call it a day. We have Tosfos in Sukkah that says it should have been an Issa d'Rabbanan, but it was lifted b'mokom mitzvah. And then Tosfos Shabbos that says it should have been an Issa d'Rabbanan, but since Tikkun Hadas is only Dirabonin anyway, so therefore it translates to become.
What the, yeah. What could be answered? Maybe it's different for some of the answers. Is the Gemara still going with the assumption of the agreement of the Achila? Or the Gemara
rejected? The Gemara said, Kagon Shalik to the Achila.
So it's Achila plus all this stuff?
Well, Achila is what gets the ball rolling. If it's not Likton Le Achila, then what is it? What's the other goal of doing it? To fix the hadas? But if you're fixing the hadas, then you're doing an issa d'rabbanan mamish. Doing an issa d'rabbanan mamish is still also a d'rabbanan mamish. That's not a psikresha. I'm doing it mamish for the purpose of doing an issa d'rabbanan. So if you pull out the litan l'achila, then the whole sugya unravels.
Why is Tosfos
in Sukkah
not like Tosfos in Shabbos?
Because it's also, there is no precedent for that. I mean, if you state that because you do the creation, is that true? 100% of a lot of shops, is that true? Malach Shatzik Lagufas on Isurim Derbanan is really mutter? Is that true? You got to learn some grammars. And not every Shvus to Shvus is automatically mutter, any stretch of imagination. You got to learn Sukkahs and Beitzah, Sukkahs and Shabbos. So there are grammars that don't sound like this does us. Well, it's only mitzvah of aveira if it's an aveira. If Chazal lift the aveira, then it's no more aveira. No, but that's if Chazal didn't lift the aveira, then it's mitzvah of aveira. But if Chazal had the right to lift the aveira, then it's no longer aveira. Yeah, that's what it means. It means Chazal said that we're not going to enforce this. We're gonna give you a green light to do it. So then you can't turn around and ask it's a mitzvah. Yeah. The mitzvah of aveira only means when there's an aveira. If it's mutter, there's no aveira. Okay, so again, one could see that the Balei Tosfos are struggling, no question about it.
Do you see this concept for Tosfos in other places where we have a Derabanan case in a Derabanan way, and therefore we say
nothing? Could be we don't have that precedent, and we may even have precedents for care, the opposite. Mm-hmm. So this Tosfos is very, very shaky. Both Tosfos are very shaky. Who's going to save the day for the Re? Who's going to save the day for the Re? Tais is trying. Who's going to really, really save the day for the Re? The Re's great-grandfather. Who's the Re's great-grandfather? Alta Zeta. Who's his great-grandfather? Who's the Re's mother? Who's the Re's mother? The Re's mother was Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam's sister. Right, the Re was a nephew of Rabbeinu Tam, right? He grew up in Rabbeinu Tam's house. So the Re was, his mother was Rabbeinu Tam's sister. Her father was Rabbeinu Meir. And, her father was Rabbeinu Meir, and her mother was who? Rabbeinu Meir was Rashi's son-in-law. Right? Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam were grandsons of Rashi. There's a little family tree here. So the Re's mother's father was Rashi. Am I right? Did I get that right? Got it? Okay, good. Check on Google, got it right? Okay, good. Okay, so the Re's great grandfather was Rashi. Am I right? That's what it says? Not bad, huh? What was her name? Miriam. Miriam was her name? One of Rashi's daughters' name was Miriam. I don't know what that was. Okay, that doesn't really make much of a difference. Okay, fine. So, what? What do you got? Okay. What does Rashi say, everybody say? Listen to this, Rashi. Rashi Nar Sugim, Lam Gimel Beis, third line from the wide lines, L'tzricha Dis L'shan Achriti.
Hilkach. Now, if I was writing the Rashi, what would I expect the next words to be? Hilkach, I would have written something like Hilkach, it's a psik reish, it's lo michalei, right? That's what you're expecting, all geared up for. This is the Rashi. Hilkach, in kan tikun kli. Rashi says, because you have another Hoshana, therefore what you're doing is not a tikun kli. What do you mean it's not a tikun kli? It used to be posel, now it's kosher. What do you mean it's not a tikun kli? You want to tell me I'm not planning on doing it, you want to tell me a psik reish, lo michalei, you want to come lochshen, you want to call whatever you want, but don't tell me it's not a tikun kli. What does Rashi mean? Rashi continues. The Lord Tzrichel Elach Shura. It's not a tikkun kli because you don't want it to become kosher. You couldn't care less because you have other hadassim around. The Lord Domi Hashal Psik Reisha. It's not the same as a Psik Reisha. The Hosam Ikan Tils Hashem Manashem by Psik Reisha, literally. Fuck off the chicken's head. The chicken's dying, whether you want it to die or not dying. The chicken is dead. But here Rashi reiterates, Vaka Leka Tikkun Kli. Avali Lo Havi Acharite. If you wouldn't have any other Hadassim, Mashalimana, that would be making to a Kli. That's Tzorach L'Hachi, because he needs it. Yavagat Lo Miskavein L'Hachi, even though it's not his plan, his real goal is to eat the berries for breakfast. But Mice, at the end of the day, since he's benefiting, it will be advantageous to him. Lochi also da psikreisha v'leyamos, because then it's a psikreisha. So one thing I tell Rashi for sure did not say, he didn't say the Yoruch. Because according to the Yoruch, Rashi is talking the wrong language. Rashi should have simply said, it's a psikreisha, the lo michalei, which is mutter. So Rashi for sure didn't say that. On the other hand, Rashi didn't say like the Tosafim are saying that. Oh, you're going to give the Shrigin. It's a psikreisha lo michalei. It should be asa b'drabbanan. Ay, what do we do? Makom mitzvah, makom this, makom that. There are abundant drabbanans. Didn't say any of that either. Rashi avoided the entire kasha. In three lines, Rashi avoided the entire kasha by introducing a new concept to the sugya called. This is not called tikkun kli. Aye, but there's a posel hadas becoming a kosher hadas. Isn't that called a tikkun kli? What's Rashi saying? Rabbi say. That there's something unique about the malacha that we're discussing, that we're analyzing, that doesn't lend itself to the regular rules of psik reisha. Or at least the regular rules of psik reisha lo nichleis. Tikkun kli. You made a kli. What makes something a kli? So most malachas are pretty much defined objectively. I just did the malach of Kesef. It used to be a blank board, and now there are two. Okay? When I strike a match, it used to be there was no end, now there's a flame. Now, true, it sometimes interests us what your mindset was, what your agenda was, because we have to clear malachas machsheves and machsheves kaved. So we have, in order to make your chayav skila, so we may have to get into your deep recesses of your brain to figure out why you did what you did. That's almost like an additional component. The malacha is done. The malacha's ksiva has been done when there are two letters written on a piece of paper. Malacha's havar has been done when a flame has started. Malacha's bishul has happened when a raw egg is now edible. Malacha's makabe patish, malacha's tikkun kli, the machshavas hagavra is an integral part of the definition of the very malacha. Because, what do you mean you made a kli? What makes this a kli? A kli is something that's usable, that's functional, that people consider to be usable. Otherwise, why is this a kli? Why is this not a kli? So Rashi says, when you're entering into the realm of this 39th, so to speak, malacha, machbe patish, you can't look at it through the eyes of regular rules of psik reisha. You have to ask yourself, is this kli going to be effective for this person? Does it make the slightest bit of difference that this hadas is now usable? And the answer is no. And once it's no longer usable for this person, because he doesn't need it, he's got 15 other hadassim, then there was no violation from Malacha Makatish at all. Not that it was done, but it was psik reisha nichleis, no, there was no violation of Malacha Makatish. What the Gemara did in one fell swoop is by saying This Noshana Chavita, according to Rashi, is that Eino Mafa B'Tadish. Finished. End of discussion. That's the Pshat of the Gemara. And as such, in one fell swoop, Rashi saved the reed. Because this Gemara is basically, totally, and completely irrelevant to our discussion. The Gemara is not even talking about a topic of segregation. That's not even on the agenda. It's not even on the sugi. You want to learn the sugi of segregation? Nichla, go learn Shabbos Kufil Mamad Aleph. What does it say there? It says there's no deraisa. Does it say it's mutter? I have no idea. The re says it's not. The re says it is. Good. Go figure it out. But don't hack me a child. Don't waste my time with Kusukh Lam and Gimel because this is the wrong sugi. It's a gewalt kibshah. So why didn't Tosfos like it? Tosfos does exactly why they didn't like it. Because this pshat is guilty of what? What's the ultimate overkill of this pshat? It's so good, it's so gewaldic, what's wrong with it? The Gemara says, Mishumar b'lez b'shim and amru b'matin v'akha b'sachin mona amra v'ashi k'onshalikta ne'achila b'lez b'shim and sav l'kevua. The Gemara committed this sheet of Elazar Rabbi Shimon to his father Rabbi Shimon's sheet about Rabbi Shimon's cabin. If Rashi's pshat is right, then this sugya, once the Gemara finally concludes that this is mutter because it's not called Machlokes Tatish, this has absolutely no relevance to the Machlokes of Rabbi Shimon. And why do we stick with Elazar Rabbi Shimon to the cave with his father? Why is he Mishum with his father's sheet? Even if he held like a Yehuda, it would still be mutter. This new pshat in Rashi, this independent svar now, that Machabat, maybe the svar is right, maybe it's not, I don't know, but this chiddush of Rashi, the Machabat Patish is so contingent upon the person's kavana that the absence thereof mitigates and is mafkiya the shem alacha from it. That is not a davar shebis kavin sugya. That's Hilcha Shabbos sugya. That's a Machabat Patish sugya. When you learn Masech HaShabbos, you learn Machabat Patish, you'll see the svar. Maybe. So this crosses party lines. This is true Bein Rebbe Ben Rebbe Shimon. So why did the Gemara say what it said? So because of that textual kasha, Tosfos rejects Rashi. So how do we salvage Rashi and ultimately salvage the Re? What does the Ritva say?
You say that the Gemara is going back in the whole thing?
Yeah, that's what the Ritva says. The Ritva says, you're right. When the Gemara finally realized that Al-Korchach were dealing with Isle Hoshana Charite, because otherwise you didn't solve the problem because Mother Shiva of Sikresha. Once the Gemara comes to that new conclusion, then everything that happened before disappears. You're talking right. Rav Ashi, there was a historical development in the sugya. Rav Ashi was first looking at the sugya through the eyes of Rav Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Ashi said, "Oh, Konshalim Lechila Rav Shimon is Lishitas like his father and Shoyim." That was Rav Ashi's shia. So imagine they're learning the sugya. They have the brisa. All the Amorim sitting around in bubble in front of Rav Ashi. And they have this braisa, trying to make sense of this braisa, and Rav Ashi says the pshat. His pshat is, Koshulim Lemechila, Svibalaz Mibashim Lashitas of his father. So the other Amorim, the Tehlike Tamid and Rav Ashi, jump at him and say, who the Tamid and Rav Ashi? The Gemara is the yeshiva Rav Ashi speaking. So Frek the Gemara, Vaha Bai Varava, that's not a good pshat, because Mada Bashim Sikresh Lo Yamos. So the Gemara says, Taki, you're right. The Gemara backtrack and says, you're Taki, right. Rav Ashi says, it's not. Correct. According to all the other Rishonim, Rav Ashi says was correct. We just had to fine tune a little bit and throw in Lo Nichalei for good luck, one, two, or three pshatim. But according to Rashi's pshat, when the Gemara asked the Kasha, "Hey, wait a second, Mother Rav Shimon Sig Reish Lo Yamos," the Gemara completely categorically rejected Rav Ashi's first beer in the sugya and went down a different route. Lagamrei, the different route is it's not called Bavli Batish. That's how the Ritva salvages Rashi, who in turn salvages the Ritva. So Abaycha Yivchay Abay say four pshatim in the Gedolei Rishonim, an Oruch, two pshatim in Tosfos, a Rashi, as to how this Gemara impacts on the Machlokes Tosfos and the Oruch. At the end of the day, we don't have a convincing Rashi. We thought we had, you know, in the column of the Oruch, but we have three other working pshatim with all the difficulties and all the problems and all the issues. But we have all we need is one of them to be right, and all three have to be right. One pshat has to be right, and the Rishon still remains. Baruch Hashem, we finished one sugya, not the whole. So we finished one Mar Mokom in terms of analyzing Tosfos. So now we move on to the next Gemara. That's the Gemara Maseches, a very, very ambiguous sugya. A lot to talk about. So Gemara is second Gemara Maseches and Zvachim Dav Tzadi Aleph and Beis. Om Shmuel Hamisnadiv Yayin Navy Umezalfa Gabi Ishim. So first of all, we're presupposing that a person can volunteer to bring wine on the Mizbeach. We're not so sure we even know where that came from. The Torah speaks about bringing wine, but the Torah always speaks about in the context of Nesachim. If you bring certain oilus and shlomim, the carbon is yachik, the seaboard, there's a whole part of the Torah in Pasha Shlach about how much wine you bring. The yayin nesach shlishisahin, the yayin nesach chatsiahin, and the revisahin, keves, whether it's a keves, whether it's an ayo, whether it's a par. So it's a parsha of Nesachim in the Torah. And then the Tanoim, Masechet Zevachim, say, yeah, I'll speak about a misnadev yayin. There's another parsha derived from other psukim. Teshuvah Rabbah teaches us that you can even bring an independent wine offering on the Mizbeach. But it's not clear what he's supposed to do with this wine. So when you bring a carbon, a regular carbon of a mehema, and you accompany it with the yayin, the guy took a ned to bring an oil, and now the Torah says that chisala bakar, so the Torah says, Basha Shlach, bring X amount of wine. So we know exactly what you do with it. What do you do with it? Where does it go? Where does the wine go? It's not poured directly on the Mizbeach. Where does it go? No one knows? It goes down the shisin or the safon. It goes down the sides or drains or pipes on the side of the Mizbeach. It poured down. It wasn't mamish poured on the Mizbeach. Come Shmuel with the Chiddush Gadol. Amar Rav Shmuel, misnadiv yayin, nevi mezalfa gabi ishim. If a fellow is menadev to bring wine itself, then he does not pour it in the regular place. He mamish pours it onto the fire itself. My timer. The Torah speaks about the possibility of the wine being an isherech nichoyach. That means it goes on the fire. That's true. The regular wine of Nesachim doesn't go on the fire. So what's this pasuk talking about? So Shmuel says, we derive from this pasuk the special parasha, the special din you can misnadiv yayin. And since the Torah speaks about isherech nichoyach, the Torah is telling us it goes dafka on the ish itself. So affecting my very strange gosh, how can it be that the Torah would give us such a mitzvah to pour wine on the Ishim? What's it going to do? Basic physics, it's going to extinguish. It's not probably not going to put out the entire Mizbeach. That's a big, big fire. But to put out a little bit, pour wine on the fire, it's going to put out some of it. And that's a serious problem. Because the Torah says, Lo sichbeh. Eish tamid tu kal Mizbeach lo sichbeh. You're not allowed to extinguish a fire in Mizbeach. And the Gemara says, even a partial extinguishing is an issa d'oraisa. Says it twice. So obviously the Torah couldn't have meant to pour on the Eish. Why not? Maybe it's normally also, but this is mutter. It's a hard kasha even. Why the Gemara viewed this as a kasha? Because it can't be. And then the Gemara says, you're right. The Otanya, we have a braisa. The Taka sounds like this kasha. Yayin nesach l'safolim, that if you bring yayin as an independent carbon, you have to put it on the safolim, down the tubes. Oh, wait, no, Elisha, I would have thought you put it on the fire. The Torah says you can't. So now Shmuel, the Chor, is against the Tanoim. Shmuel's against the Torah, he's against Mishnai, against the Brites, against the Psukim. So what did Shmuel mean when he said, Yayin is now for Gabi Mizbeah, Agabi Ishim? But we don't believe it, Lokash, Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. Whether or not you can pour wine on Gabi Mizbeah depends on the Machlokes Rabbi Rabbi Shimon about, you heard it, what? Whether what? The Rav Hashem is Kavin is also Mutter. And that's where the Sugya ends. What? So we have a lot of work to do in this Gemara. The Orach's going to have what to say about this Gemara. Tosfos is going to have to say about something. About the Rambam's going to have. Everyone's going to have what to say about this Gemara. Now, what in the world is going on? What does that do with the Hashem? It's Kavin. You can be Bechav. You can't be Bechav. Kavan Bechav. Psik Reisha. Not a Psik Reisha. Benichlei. Dolom Bechav. A lot of things are going to be swirling around. We just read the whole Gemara together. It's a total of 2.5 lines. But within these 2 plus a word lines is going to become the second most pivotal, maybe even the most pivotal Gemara in addressing the Machlokes Tais in the Yoh. Hopefully with Shem tomorrow, we'll continue with that Gemara. You guys want the Gemara?